You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Last time, as we were going through Matthew's Gospel, we were in verses 18 through 26 of chapter 9. And there we encountered both a dead girl and a sick woman. And as we were moving through this portion of Scripture, I was in process of emphasizing the power of faith. More importantly, the significance of the object of our faith. For ultimately, it is the object of faith that renders faith faithful. True faith is ultimately rooted and grounded in the nature of God Himself. And nothing is more crucial than a proper understanding of both His power as well as His person. In Christian theology, Jesus Christ is portrayed as the sovereign of the universe. He's described as perfectly wise, as omnipotent and omniscient. And in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, what we're talking about in the last broadcast, Christ supernaturally perceived her faith. For the congruent message of Scripture depicts Him, the object of our faith, as the one who sees all and knows all from all eternity, as the one who wields supreme and absolute authority. And thus, in biblical vernacular, we might well say that faith is it's a channel of living trust. It's an assurance that stretches from Jairus, the synagogue ruler, whose daughter had died, and this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, some historians call her Veronica, to the God-man Jesus Christ. So again, it stretches from human beings to God. Let me put that another way. As this passage and the whole of Scripture makes plain, it is ultimately the object of faith that renders faith faithful. Not everyone will be healed, but we can rest assured that God will weave together all of the circumstances of our lives into a perfect tapestry. And even as I say that, a poem comes to my mind, a poem that I memorized many years ago. I found it in a restaurant and memorized it. It's called The Weaver, and I've used it again and again. It is not only powerful for my audience, but it's been personally powerful for me. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I do not choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unfurl that canvas and explain the reason why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. Well, we proceed now to to the next few verses, verses 27 through 31. And there St. Matthew writes that as Jesus went on from there, from these healings, two blind men followed him, and they called out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Imagine that. Blind, and now I see. Jesus then warns them sternly, "See to it that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. Obviously, a lot going on in this passage, not the least of which is that the blind men here refer to Jesus as Son of David. And I want to unpack that, because by doing that, they acknowledge that Jesus is the promised Messiah who forever sits upon the throne of Israel's quintessential king, King David. God's promise to David was that his descendants would sit on the throne forever, and that promise was fulfilled when Jesus, the Son of David, as the blind man rightly designated Jesus, ascended to the throne of the heavenly Jerusalem and then established his rule and reign over all the earth. St. Peter, of course, made this perfectly plain in his powerful Pentecost message, a message in which he memorably proclaimed to fellow Jews that David was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses to that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David didn't ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So just as Joshua is a type of Jesus who leads the true children of Israel into the eternal land of promise, so King David is a type of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who forever rules and reigns from a new Jerusalem in faithfulness and in truth. In each case, the lesser, in this case Joshua and David, is fulfilled and rendered obsolete by the greater, Jesus Christ. I suppose my point in saying all of this is to remind most of you of what you already probably know, at least what you probably should know, namely that while the blind men may have been physically sightless, they most certainly had 20/20 vision spiritually. They realized, as the teachers of the law should have realized, that Jesus was indeed the Son of David who forever sits upon the throne of David. something made plain by the law and by the prophets, and that as the Son of David, he would extend mercy to whom he would extend mercy. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about what Jesus saw when he perceived the spiritual sight of blind men, and how by seeing this, he mercifully restored their physical eyesight. So they had great spiritual eyesight, but he now is going to heal their physical eyesight as well. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, as I'm going through Matthew's gospel, I'm answering questions that have come up over and over during the course of doing this broadcast for, well, a lot more than 3 decades. We'll be right back with more, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we went to break, I was talking about Jesus who was in process of healing blind men. Blind men who realized that he was indeed the Son of David, and that as the Son of David, he would extend mercy to whom he would extend mercy. And Jesus, seeing the faith of the blind man, seeing their spiritual sight, mercifully restored their physical sight as well. And in doing that, Jesus demonstrated that he was far greater than any national king could ever be, even greater than King David, the quintessential king of Israel. Following the healing of the blind men, then, Jesus charges them. He charges them sternly with the words, "See to it that no one knows about this." So, what was Jesus talking about here? I think what should be self-evident is that Jesus is in no way attempting to hide the miraculous. Already he has performed wondrous works throughout the region, and thus the multitudes were keenly aware of his miracle-working power. He had healed masses of people. Moreover, the family and friends of the blind men would immediately know that their loved ones had once been blind but now see. Thus, the news of their healing would inevitably be shared broadly. Instead, I think what's going on is that Jesus is instructing the blind man to not proclaim him as Son of David. I think that's what's in view in this passage, because if they were to do that, they would inevitably intoxicate the multitudes to forcibly enthrone him as a parochial political leader. And this, of course, was not at all the mission of Jesus Christ. He had not come to establish an exclusively Jewish Jerusalem or Israel. Rather, his reign would extend, as St. Paul makes plain, to faithful Gentiles throughout the earth who, on account of Christ, are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. To enthrone Jesus upon a literal throne in Jerusalem, as will the Son of David, would entirely miss the point, and to mistake the appetite for doing this was palpable. To mistake that palpable attitude in the context of what was going on would have been a tragedy. It would have been to exalt the type and the shadow over the reality. It would have been an anticlimactic step backward. It would have been an insult to the glory and the grandeur of the throne of God itself. What is greater, ruling the entire heavens and earth, or ruling over national Israel as the Son of David? Well, the answer is obvious. It would not have been obvious to the multitudes at that time and in that place. And therefore, Jesus exhorts the blind men not to reveal the essence of what they perceive through spiritual sightedness, namely that Jerusalem is but a type that has been heightened by the greater reality, the heavenly city where Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David. And it is toward that antitypical heavenly Jerusalem with Jesus on its throne that we are to direct, as it were, our eschatological eyes, our eschatological sight. St. Paul would later make this reality plain by noting that the Israelites of his day were in slavery to types and shadows, in slavery to temple, priest, and sacrifice. Conversely, those like the blind men who recognize that the shadow of Jerusalem has found fulfillment in the substance of Christ, well, they are set free, not only from their blindness, but they're set free to inherit the earth. In his coming, Jesus forever dispensed with the need for temple, priest, and sacrifice. A need which would only be made unmistakably plain in light of his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. His mission was not temporary miracles. His mission was a new heaven and a new earth in which the masses would never again suffer blindness or die. So when the text tells us that the blind men went out and they spread the news about Jesus all over that region, of one thing we can be absolutely sure, they would not for a moment suggest that Jesus would be a mere parochial political ruler. Whatever they did or didn't say, to render him a mere earthly king would have been, well, short-sighted, to say the least. Of one thing we can be absolutely certain: all the types, all the shadows of the Old Covenant, and that includes the Holy Land of Israel, the Holy City Jerusalem, and the Holy Temple of God, have been fulfilled in the Holy Christ. It is paradise, a new heaven and a new earth, not Palestine, for which the blind men yearned with all their hearts and souls. For though they had regained their physical sight, they were no doubt well aware of their own mortality. And thus, only the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband, would ultimately satisfy their gaze. Only the master teacher, not by a long stretch an earthly kingdom, would forever satisfy their deepest longings. And I should say, vicariously, yours and mine as well. Truly, truly, Jesus is precisely what the blind men called him: the Son of David. Not an earthly king, but one who would rise from the dead, as made patently plain by the prophets. One who forever sits upon the throne of David as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a beautiful passage in which the blind men see Jesus as the Son of David, but they see him not as a parochial ruler. They see him for what he really is. They see that he will forever sit upon the throne of David, that he is the one who fulfills all the types and the shadows that came before. And so while they were blind, the wonder of this passage is they see. Their physical eyes didn't work. Their spiritual eyes were in full force. And now Jesus takes the spiritually sighted and he restores their physical eyes as well. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture wherein we once again see Jesus Christ as a wonder worker, one who has never before had anyone like him on the planet, one who will never be followed by anyone as great, for he is the Anthropos, the God-man. He is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. He is the one we seek to emulate. He is the one who ultimately restores our spiritual sight. Well, next time we will get into demon possession, because Jesus encounters a man who is demon possessed, and we're going to elaborate on that again in the next broadcast. Thanks for staying tuned. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.